CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And Fire It Up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
Believe. On CBS Radio's The Sky. The Sky.
Welcome back to Fire It Up with CJ. Today we have Benita Banducci, a gender expert who mentors women on how to better market their skills in the workplace. Fans out there, make sure to get more shows like this one at fireitupwithcj.com. I'm Cassandra, live from New Sky Radio, and we're going to go right back to CJ.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. So, unfortunately, the business world is still a man's world, and I know that because I worked... God, it seems like a whole lifetime, but 13 or 14 years at Microsoft. And there were times where I was literally in a meeting. There were 45 men and myself in the meeting. And then someone was telling a raunchy joke, a sexually oriented raunchy joke. And I thought, why am I here? This is awful. And why am I the only woman here? And but it did give me an appreciation. What I did learn was how to cultivate. I think there are also natural skills for me, my male-oriented skills, but I really didn't have a sense of what my female-oriented skills would be. And today, Benita Banducci is going to be telling us a little bit about kind of the terms, vernacular that we can use, and what does it mean to have a woman-oriented skill, and how do we describe the skills that we have. Welcome, Benita.
Hi, CJ. It's great to be here.
I wish I had you earlier in my career. Where were you? Where were you 10 years ago?
I was figuring it out. Although I will add that, you know, one of the things I've found is that often women think the way they think is common sense. So even for me, as I was figuring out the gender differences, I was thinking, oh, well, you know, people understand these things. And it wasn't until I worked with a group of women last year when I was pointing out that often we think that the way we think is common sense, that they were startled at what they discovered, and we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
But I realized, even for myself, I had been thinking, oh, well, other gender experts know this, and it's not a big deal. But it's really, framework
is
really making a difference.
Yeah, because
I have to admit to myself that I thought it was common sense.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's, I think we think that everyone thinks the same way, but they don't. I mean, women do think differently. I mean, so what did you find? What's the framework? Tell us about it.
Well, first of all, I have framed these differences in terms of competencies.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a big word, and some people don't like that word. But specifically, I want to create language that can be heard inside the what I call the more individualistic culture of men, mm-hmm. Which is a culture of skills and action and objects. So competencies is something that they can understand and they can work with. If we mm-hmm. talk about different traits, different styles, they can't get their hands on the levers and dials of
right.
that. It's ethereal.
Right.
So
yeah.
I have framed these competencies specifically to be able to be heard inside the more traditional culture, which I describe as being individualistic.
Mm-hmm.
And these competencies as being relational, mm-hmm. looking usually through the lens of relationship and how do we as people and also ideas connect,
mm-hmm.
And individualistic being much more individualized and status oriented, who's up and who's down.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you asked what are some of the competencies. One of my, you know, my favorite is this connecting the dots, or what some people call systems thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It actually, you know, relational people, most of whom are women, have an ability to see what we call a larger context rather than being focused and prioritized, which is more traditional. We have a tendency to be able to see the connections of very disparate ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's very, it's critical. I mean, often
mm-hmm.
it is.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite example is, of course, George Bush when he said after 9/11 that we didn't connect the dots. as to what was happening, when actually there was a woman who worked for the FBI who had connected the dots when her group discovered that there was a flight student who had asked his instructor just to teach him how to fly the plane, that he didn't need to know how to land the plane.
Mm-hmm.
They connected the dots. They said this could be a terrorist plot, and they reported it to Washington, and no one listened.
Mm-hmm.
And of course it was, most of us are aware of the CIA agent that found Osama bin Laden had connected the dots. And it's an extraordinary story of how she put very disparate information together.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how much of that's related to, you know, that kind of left brain intuitive kind of thing. Because sometimes I'll say, yeah, this is what we should do. And they're like, how do you know that's what we should do? I'm like, I just know. And truly, if I actually sit down, how do I know that? It's because I have a system thinking kind of mind that actually connected dots really rapidly and came up with a hit that I know is correct.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But a better way to describe it in an individualistic oriented company is I connect dots. I'm really good at systems thinking.
Yeah. Sometimes even when you say systems thinking, you have to explain that in an organic sense, because they can translate it into mechanistic sense, and then it should be highly rational. And systems thinking in the organic sense is kind of like chaos theory, finding the order in the chaos. That's the way we think, and we have to make sure that they're set up to expect that kind of thinking from us, and then they'll be able to appreciate it. It might be scary at first, but then when you can point out examples and what you've done with it, then they can become enthusiastic and will look to you for it.
Yeah, and part of it is just even knowing how to describe it, because I would be in meetings and like, this is what we should do. And people would look at me because I would go from, instead of like a rational, methodical plan from A to Z, where I go A to B, B to C, C to, you know, whatever, I would just go to A to Z, and people are like, what? And then we would talk about it, and some guy would say the same thing I said like 20 minutes earlier, and they'd say, that's a brilliant idea. I'm like, what the hell? I just came up with that idea 20 minutes before. But it's the idea. I think sometimes it's knowing that you are a systems thinker. What I had to do, and at Microsoft, is I had to literally train myself to step people through A to B, B to C, C to D, because they couldn't get there.
Yeah.
So part of it is, know that you're this kind of brain, but then start developing compensating abilities so that you can communicate with the other type of brain, which I think is the individualistic brain, right? Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Taking those steps, knowing that you have to take the steps. And then it's also your opportunity to point out that this is your connecting the dots.
Right.
So that you're reinforcing that.
And what are some of the other ones? When you said, what are the other parts of skills that you've mentioned in your framework?
Well, I think that there are basically two kinds of sets. One are skills or competencies that are different, like connecting the dots is very different than highly prioritized and linear thinking. There are skills that we have a name for, like customer focused, but they're two entirely different expressions and behaviors for that.
Mm-hmm.
I have found that my engineering students at Santa Clara University, they often will say that customer focus for them is, that is the guys, they'll say, I know what's best for the customer.
Sorry. Okay.
Sound familiar?
Yes.
Whereas more relational people, and there's some guys that are relational too, but so I just want to acknowledge that. But more relational people will get into the shoes of the customer and even the shoes of the customer's customer and look from there and, you know, and see things and resolve things that and point out things that maybe the customer might not see.
Right.
But you are coming from being in the shoes of the customer.
Yeah. But it's a different expression, same term in terms of a competency, customer
right,
focus.
Same term. So that's when you have to watch. And one of the little tips that I give out is whenever there's a term, be sure to ask, what does it look like? Another term like that is being a team player.
Right.
All of this opened up for me is when I interviewed Carol Bartz at Sun Microsystems in my early research, and I'd asked her what she had brought to the executive team that wouldn't have been there if she hadn't been there as a woman. First of all, she said she didn't consider it to be her gender, which is also part of women not recognizing that this is the way
right. There
is a
culture. Oh, gosh. Wait, you know what? We have to go on break, but I want to come back and talk more about team player and some of the other things in your framework. We have Benita Banducci here, owner of Banducci Consulting, and a teacher in the Bay Area on how women can retain and be promoted in engineering backgrounds and in life in general. So in the next segment, we're going to continue our conversation. We'll be right back.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky.
Sky.
Welcome back to Fire It Up with CJ. Today we have business consultant and mentor Benita Banducci here on CBS Sky Radio. I'm Cassandra, and I'd like to welcome back CJ and Benita.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. So we have been talking about how women can describe the particular way in which they do work, which we're finding out is different than men. Of course it would be. So in a lot of companies, which are mostly individualistic focused, we were talking in the previous segment about broadening the lens and saying, hey, that's also relationship oriented and relational. And we're talking about the connecting the dots and the systems thinking. And then even within some of the core competencies that are recognized, oftentimes there's kind of a female representation of that. So we're talking about customer focused, and then right before the break we were talking about being a team player. So welcome back, Benita. Tell us about your story about Carol Bartz and about this idea of team player and a female and male version of it.
Well, Carol had told me, when I asked her what it was that she brought to the executive team, she said, I can see all the different ramifications of a given issue. The guys, most of the time, they take the highest priority problem, the highest priority solution, put the solution against the problem, and fight any fires that happen. And she said, I want to prevent fires, which, by the way, is another way of describing being a fire preventer instead of just a firefighter, because a fire preventer doesn't show up unless you point it out.
Yes, absolutely.
But, okay, so getting back to this point, she's actually describing connecting the dots, the systems kind of thinking, which I was very excited about. But then she added, for this she was considered to be not a team player. So now we're bridging into this other competency interpretation, that the men actually were perceiving her as stalling the action because she's bringing in a complex solution. They couldn't get right into action. She was getting into other people's turfs, which is not being a team player. You're supposed to be in your own turf. And she was not following the call of the quarterback. You know, she was saying, well, I think we should do it this way instead of going with the CEO and using the highest status person as the decision maker.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Here, that's the way the more individualistic people were seeing team player. What team players are for women, for the most part, is usually we throw all the issues out on the table, sort them all out, see who's going to do what. This is particularly amongst women.
Mm-hmm.
But bringing your best thinking to the problem and preventing fires is being a team player rather than having to subject the organization to the difficulties of ramifications after one kind of solution.
How did she bring that to light with the executive so that they could understand that what she was doing was, in fact, being a team player in a different way?
Yeah, and that's why I encourage women, most of whom are the relational people, to talk about your competencies as you're using them, as competencies.
Right.
Otherwise, they're invisible or misinterpreted.
Right.
The preventing the fire preventer doesn't show up as a leader.
Right.
I've actually had men suggest to women that if they want to get ahead, they should light a few fires and put them out, which to us is grotesque.
Right. So even if she had said, like, in the interest of the team, one of the things I think is thoroughness, and one of the things that I don't think we're looking at is XYZ, then it would have been presented as, like, this is team playing, right? Like, versus when she said, well, how about this? How about this? How about this? Have you thought about this? Where it's like, oh, that's just the woman nagging me to take out the garbage.
Yeah, right? You're right. It's interpreted as nagging, whereas for us, it's continuous process improvement.
Yes. This is me showing you love. You don't get it. It's me showing you love.
Yeah.
Whereas if she had said that, again, bringing and saying, like, in the interest of the team and preventing, you know, problems later on, I, you know, just even repositioning the term so that she could be repositioning as a team player. You know what I mean? I think that that would have helped from a...
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Yeah.
And since you brought up continuous process improvement, that's it, in some areas we have to be careful because, for instance, often the guys, they need to be acknowledged for something that's accomplished. We're so excited about getting on to the next thing, to fix the next thing. So we have to be aware when our way of doing things also rubs up against their sense of pride, and we can become what they conceive of as complainers if we don't acknowledge what has been done.
Right.
So I just want to put that in.
Right. Then, didn't you realize I did take up the garbage? I know now you're asking me to fix the sink, but I did take out the garbage.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Yes, you did. Thank you so much for taking out the garbage, and I appreciate it. And
when
you have a chance, let's look at the sink because you know, we're all part of
the same thing to happen in the workplace.
Like family.
Yeah.
Exactly. So tell us about Devil's Advocate because we have a couple more minutes.
Well,
tell us about
this
that.
This is, for instance, I think probably the key area that really kills off women, that has us leave our organizations and even leave fields like engineering. There is such a prevalence of what we call devil's advocate, which is usually poking holes in an idea. When a proposal is made, the immediate response is usually, in the individualistic world, let's poke holes in it to make it bulletproof. And relational people will often back down, feel personally attacked, and resigned about being able to be able to make a difference. When we recognize that this is the individualistic person's way of trying to actually support an idea by making it bulletproof, sometimes it gets extreme, I must admit. But when we can accept that this is a way of communicating and problem solving, and that we have a different way, and we need to teach them.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, by saying, okay, Joe, I'll play devil's advocate with you, but first I want you to play angel's advocate with me. Mm-hmm. And angel's advocate is a term that I got from one of the men in my workshops, actually. Mm-hmm. We could call it collaboration if you don't want to use a religious term, but I like it because angels traditionally have brought epiphanies, you know, messages from God and insights. So I like that idea of angel's advocate. And an angel's advocate is building an idea, adding to it, enhancing it. And actually, for real innovation, we need both. But the individualistic people, they have no muscle for that at all. You actually have to teach them.
Right.
And
right.
Again, what I say is, Joe, I want your best thinking on this.
Right.
Not
yeah,
don't
so
make
good.
Him wrong yeah. by saying, you know, no, your devil's advocate is wrong. Just say, before we play devil's advocate, I want your best thinking on this. I want you to build on it, and then we'll play devil's advocate. And in doing so, you're getting what you want, what really feeds your innovative thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also helping them build a new muscle and recognize that there is another competency there.
Right.
I had two engineers from the California Water Quality Control Board play this when I first did it. And they solved the problem. They worked together every day, but they solved the problem by playing angel's advocate that they hadn't been able to solve before.
Right.
So this is for the guys too.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So this has multiple impact because you'll increase your innovation, but you'll also build your confidence and effectiveness with whole groups by being able to make those two distinctions.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I actually was in a court mediating for a couple of years in small business claims. And it was always, the question was always like, I want this. And the other person might say, I would want this. And I'd say, okay, well, how can we find a way where we can get both? And the whole idea was just, you know, their heads were exploding. Like, they never thought about it, that we could both be happy. You know, it's like, yes, you can. It's like, I guess I was being an angel's advocate. So, thank you so much, Benita, for being here. I wish I had someone like you building a framework when I was in the corporate world. And for folks out there, I think this is really great in terms of helping us language things for promotions and on the job site, and to help educate people on the ways that women add value at work, which are many, but that sometimes we can't describe. So thank you so much for being here. Next week we have woman activist Jean Shinoda Bolen and psychotherapist Olivia Mellon talking about the psychology of money and how women and men think differently about money. So have a great weekend, everyone. Thanks again, Benita.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.